If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 17. It said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself." And then verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." I want to talk to you this morning about who you really are. You know, if somebody told you to define yourself in one word, what would that one word be? A few years ago, a nationwide poll was taken by the New York Times and the CBS News, in which they asked people to define themselves in a single word. They couldn't use a sentence, just one single word. There were 1,100 people who participated in the poll, and slightly over 200 answers came back as a result. The answers most frequently given, other than the number one answer, was average, me, myself, each getting about 4%. Now, the word concern came in second at 3%. After the poll was taken, a number of celebrities were asked to decide or describe themselves in a single word, and businessman Donald Trump answered doer. Basketball coach Pat Riley offered the word traditional. And then talk show host Rush Limbaugh chose the word misrepresented. None of the respondents in the poll chose a word of self-description that indicated anything about their race. None chose a word that labeled themselves as a member of a certain interest group or political party. The one word that was used the most, well over twice as much as any other, was the word American. Well, let me ask you that same question this morning. If you were asked to give me a one-word definition of that which defines you, who you are, what word would you use? I want you to think about it a bit. I don't suppose that I would be too surprised with your answer, and certainly not the answers given in the poll. And yet it is somewhat disappointing, especially when I read that there is a bit over 80% of the population of America who claim in some fashion to be a part of the Christian family. It seems only reasonable to think that at least a majority of those polled would mention or say that the word that would best describe them would be Christian. You know, I'm glad today to know that I am a child of the King. And I'm glad to be able to say that I am a Christian this morning. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with being an American. In fact, I think all of us that are here this morning would say that we are very proud to be an American. We are proud of our country. We are proud of the fact that we have the freedoms that we do, that we can come to the house of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. My, we are so blessed. In fact, much good can be said about being an American, but the poll seems to me to suggest a misplaced priority. Now, our text uses a word that I think gets right to the heart of our identity as a child of God, and that word is citizenship. Now, in the King James Version, the word is conversation, and it has to do with who we are. and also how we live our lives each day. Who we are, how we live our lives each day. Now, citizenship is not just about where you live, but where you belong. Where you belong. It is about things like identity, loyalty, and values. And these are things that go with us even if we leave the confines of our country, go to another country for a while. These are the things that define us. Now, Vince Havner made this statement. He said, "Our Lord bade us go, not merely to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, but to teach them to observe all these things." You know, a lot of times we know the commandments and we know what God says of us, but when it comes down to observing and doing what he commands us to do, we know a whole lot more than what we put into practice, don't we? Citizenship talks about where you belong. These things shape us, they define us, they make us who we are, no matter where we are. You see, we can live in a foreign country for decades as a resident alien while maintaining our relationship and our citizenship in a country that we haven't seen for a long time. Citizenship is not just a fact seen on a passport. It is a reality in the heart. I want to speak to you this morning about our relationship with the Lord, defining who we are. Notice the precision of our Christian identity. Our identity in Christ is not an afterthought with God. It is not something that just happened accidentally. It is a definite, precise work of God. I'm here to tell you that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Who is the creator? We know the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the creator himself. We know that it took a tremendous price for him to be our creator, to make it possible that we could be redeemed from the bondage of sin and make heaven our home. Now think about his first creation, if you will. It was so definite, so precise. So with his new creation, just as carefully and purposefully as he created this world and set it into motion, every aspect depending on all the others, so he has created you and me. If we fail to be who he intended us to be, it hinders his whole plan of redemption. All of us are cogs in the wheel that God wants to use as a mighty team and an army to accomplish the redemption of a lost world. Let's suppose, if you will, just kind of an illustration, what would happen if the sun decided to take the day off? We'd all freeze to death. What would happen if gravity decided to take a vacation? We'd all fall off the earth, wouldn't we? Listen, this is important. God's plan for the Christian calls for minute details that are vital to the success of his plan of salvation. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Do you get what I'm saying? God carefully planned from the beginning of the world who he purposed us as his children to be. Even before we went astray, he planned our return. Why did he send his only begotten son into the world to die on a cruel cross? He did it because we could never ever be who he purposed us to be unless he did send his son to die. We could not be redeemed from the bondage of sin. We could not carry out his plan of redemption to a lost and dying world. God has a place of service for every single one of us this morning. And God wants us to do what we're gifted to do in order to be a part of his redemption plan. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that a man must be born again. He must be born of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we know there's a physical birth. We also know there is a spiritual birth. You must be born again spiritually. He said, Lord, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? He was not talking about the physical, but about the spiritual. You must be born again. You know, it is a major miracle that you can listen to the preaching of the word, get under conviction, the Holy Spirit draw you to repentance, and you come to an altar, a black-hearted sinner, and you can confess just by faith, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner, and I want your forgiveness, and I want you to come into my life and be Lord and Savior of my life. And that's all it takes. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, when faith is exercised, you become a child of the King. What a blessing to be a Christian. Peter spoke of Christians as pilgrims and strangers. One translation uses the word aliens and exiles down here. The song says it well, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm here to tell you that I don't want to put all of my stock and emphasis on things down here. I know that one day they're all going to pass away. I can't take it with me. I have never, ever seen a hearse truck following the cemetery hearse or a truck. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, a Brinks truck, yeah. I'm kind of like Phil this morning. He's back in children's church, can't hear me, so I can talk about him, huh? But you can't take it with you. We're pilgrims and strangers down here. We're just passing through. Secondly, let's consider the perception of our Christian identity. I'm afraid all too many Christians have a false perception of who they really are. Some put their country before citizenship. They value their citizenship down here above their citizenship up there. Now, I think this is obvious because not much effort is put into being a Christian and a member of the church. You see, there's a lot of people that they come to church because, well, that's expected. They come to church because, well, I've always done that. I was raised to do that, and so they come as a matter of habit. But I'm going to tell you what, we ought to come to the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, whenever that we're having church, because we love God. Amen. And I know we're getting ready to hit a time in the summer when it's hard to keep folks faithful. I don't understand that. I mean, I know that everybody needs a vacation, and I want you to have that vacation because you'll be a better servant of the Lord if you get rested up, do something a little bit different. But, you know, if we're not sick and if we're, if we're not sick, we ought to be here. We ought to be in the house of God. And I know folks tell me today, well, preacher, other churches don't even have church on Sunday night. Some of them don't have it on Wednesday night. And, you know, a lot of folks don't go to church anymore on Sunday night and Wednesday night. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to take what God says and do what he says. Now, I'm not getting after anybody. Uh, Too many of us lay up treasures on earth as if they're permanent citizens of this world. But all I got to tell you is just look in the mirror. And you look in that mirror and you look at a picture, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Tell me what you see. You're getting older. You're wearing out. It won't be long until we'll all be gone, you know. Somebody else will be up here hollering, you know. Somebody else will be out there in those pews. But I'm thankful that I'm a child of God. And Brother Jim, Mandy and I were talking out there this morning, and you know, they found a spot on his right side of his lung, and you know, automatically you think cancer, but it may not be, but they're going to check it out next week. But we talked about not being afraid to die. I don't worry about death. Jim doesn't worry about death. We know that we know that we know that he's our Lord and Savior. And he's not a fair-weathered God. We know that in good times and bad times and in between times, he's always there. He's always faithful. We can depend upon him. And if we die before we wake, my soul the Lord will take. I am thankful this morning that we're not to lay up our treasures in, or that we are to lay up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, it is true that we're still down here and we have responsibilities, and we know that. You know, a man won't work, you know, he ought not to eat. You know, that's really what Paul said. And I'm meddling this morning. But you know, you get up, you go to work, you make a living for your family, you rear your children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you love your mate, you do the things that's required of you, but you don't ever forget where your real citizenship lies. You see, we're citizens here, yes, but we're citizens there. And I'm here to tell you, I long for the day that we'll get to go home and be with the Lord and be with all of those that have preceded us in death. Paul said, let your conversation or your lifestyle be such as becometh the gospel of Christ. It is important that we live every day to reflect our true identity. The world needs to see that we're real. You know, how do they know you're real? I'm going to tell you something you probably already know. They're watching you. The world is watching you. They want to see how you talk. They want to see how you walk. They want to see your life in your little environment. They want to see how you live under the circumstances. When the bottom falls out, how do you live, you know? When everything's going good and you're on the mountaintop, how do you live? Folks ought to be able to see, regardless of whatever the circumstances you find yourself in, that you're living for the Lord, that you're not fair-weathered, but you're true, you're faithful, and God can depend on you. That's the kind of example the world needs that will point them to Christ. They want somebody that they can see that is real. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then the plight of our Christian identity. You've heard a whole lot being said in this day and time about identity theft. It's becoming a multi-million dollar business in our nation. Thieves get your social security number, your bank account information. They create new documents that they can steal your identity. We can't be too careful. Law enforcement tells us that we are not to carry our social security cards in a wallet or purse. They say keep it at home in a secure place. Don't mail payments from your mailbox, you know, checks from the mailbox if it's out on the street. If you have a credit card, be careful that somebody's not trying to steal your information. Now, I think you know where I'm going with this. The devil would like nothing more than to steal your identity as a Christian. He will use anything and anyone to project you to be the person that the devil wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be identified as a child of God. He wants you to look like and act like the world. He wants people to doubt your Christianity. Oh, he doesn't mind you going to church as long as you're not serious. We're just passing through, aren't we? This is not our long home. I want to be ready to meet him when he calls me. Jesus told of the devil, the thief comes for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We must be on guard and not permit the enemy of our soul to rob us of the most important thing that we have. That's our relationship, our identity with Christ Jesus. Citizenship is not just a fact seen on a passport. It's a reality that resides within our heart. Let me ask you, what about your heart? What about your heart this morning? I think that's an important question. Is your heart set on things above or things on this earth? Have you stripped off the old self with its sinful practices? Have you robed yourself in that new self that identifies you with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a new creation? Not defined by earthly relations or social stations, but by Jesus Christ. Christians, let's practice our position. Let's live consistent with the person that we are in Christ Jesus. And it may mean from time to time we need to come to these altars and just confess, Lord, I have drifted. I've not always been what you wanted me to be. That's not a shame. That's a reality. And sometimes we need to come and just confess, Lord, I've gotten off course. I'm not living as if I am the citizen of heaven that I should be. I need your forgiveness. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to change that identity. And the Bible said you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can come for prayer. And I can tell you, God is not too busy to hear. You can call on him in that still small voice. It may not even be uttered to where we can hear. But it's from the soul. And the Spirit of God interprets the groanings of the soul. He understands what we really, really need. And if you come and you ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior today, you know what he'll do? He'll do just that. He'll come into your heart. He'll cleanse you of all your sins. And you can leave here a child of the King. I'm here to say today that I'm glad that I'm identified with him. I'm glad that when people see me, they see one that is they identify as a Christian. I want them to know that I'm a child of the King, not just a preacher, but a Christian, a child of the King. How do they see you today? Are you a child of the King? Is he first and foremost in your life? Let's bow for prayer.